is Buccaneers Total Access.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay!
With your host, T.J. Reeves.
Fire the cannon!
On 620 WDAE, home of the Buccaneers.
It is a Friday night, and we get ready for the Buccaneers and the San Diego Chargers on Sunday. Good to have the Bucs back home at Raymond James Stadium. We will be ready to go with that one at 1 o'clock as Tampa Bay comes in at 4-4. We're ready to have fun for the full hour here tonight on Total Access with a guy who makes his living punting, kicking off, holding the a jack of all trades when it comes to the special teams. Michael Kanin is with us here for the full hour. Good to see you. Good to have you. Thanks for doing this.
No problem.
We appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
All right. So, you know, you were concerned a couple of moments ago, what are we going to talk about for the full hour? And I let you know that it's going to be a very difficult show because we're going to talk about you. So, I mean, come on. You're telling me that we can't get through a full hour with the Michael Kanin story here? You're concerned about this?
I'm an open book, so I got okay. Two or three chapters.
We can probably two or three that we can get to. By the way, you folks can join us this evening. There are Buck fans out there that I'm sure have questions, have comments. Again, one of the more versatile players on the roster, does a lot of different things, so we're going to talk to him about it. Here's how you join us, 990-4620. If you're in Hillsboro, if you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620, and toll-free 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827 is the toll-free number if you are outside of the immediate area and you want to call us up. And I keep telling the guys that come in here, especially on Friday night, we get calls from all over the country with technology being what it is. Is the internet, the apps that are out there that can hear the Buccaneers Radio Network and 620 WDAE, one of our flagship stations. We got Buck fans. I mean, there were Buck fans calling last week from Northern California that were talking about how they were going to be at the Raiders game. And sure enough, let's pick up on that point. You looked around, I'm sure, at one point, and there were a lot of Buccaneer jerseys. It wasn't just three or four. There were a lot of Buccaneer fans, some of them friends and family, but there were some Buck fans at the Raiders game last week. They're Buck fans all over, Michael.
There definitely is. They traveled well. I liked it. It was good.
There were some in Minnesota as well for the back-to-back road win. So it's good to see and hear from Buccaneer fans. So, again, if you've got questions, if you've got comments, you can dial us up. So, all right, let's get into this football team in general. At 2-4 going to Minnesota on a Thursday night, a lot of people were concerned. What's this team going to look like? How are they going to perform? How are they going to handle it? 2 weeks later, after a win at Minnesota and a win at Oakland, everybody's saying, hey, great job. So the question goes to you guys all week. What's been the difference the last couple of weeks? Why has this team been able to turn it around and win in two hostile places like Minnesota and Oakland, Mike?
You know, I guess time together would be kind of a factor because I don't think the team's any different. You know, we've prepared well. We've put in good long weeks and really worked hard at practice and have great players, you know. So I don't think that you know, it's just how the ball bounces. Sometimes you win games you shouldn't. Sometimes you win games you should definitely win, and that's the great thing about football. And you know, we didn't get too down on ourselves. We just grinded a little harder, and you know, those victories start coming.
You know, dealing with adversity, no matter where it strikes, is one of the measures of sports, of life. All the time, you hope you never have adversity in a game, but all the time it seems like there's going to be a moment or two where there is adversity, especially on the road. And in the second half of the Minnesota game, it was the Adrian Peterson long run, and this team responded and put the game away. Last week, after Doug Martin made those two long runs, three total long runs, the two long runs made it 35-17. Suddenly the Raiders were coming back some. There was some adversity, but this team again responded. Is that the sign of a team maturing, growing up some as we watch this season unfold?
Definitely. You know, and there's good leadership on this team, and you got to commend our coaches also for being leaders. And you know, your team's going to go where your coaches lead them, and you know, you put on a strong front, and you don't back down from adversity, like you're saying, and you just keep grinding, and you don't wait to see, you know, if you won or lost till the end of the game. So.
Back to that Minnesota game, you were kind of one of the unsung heroes. I mean, everybody was talking about the screen pass to Doug Martin or the clinching touchdown drive, essentially, which was a 9-minute drive, and eventually Doug Martin scored on a 1-yard run to help put the game away. In that game, you were quite the weapon, changing the field position with punts and then numerous touchbacks against one of the dangerous return men in all of the NFL in Percy Harvin. That was a complete performance by this team, and you were part of that. Just tell me about the special teams aspect that kind of got overlooked in Minnesota a couple of weeks ago.
Well, like you said, two two really good returners in there, punt returner as well, and Percy Harvin is somebody you do not want to see returning a ball on you. So, you know, the more I can keep the ball out of those guys' hands, the better. And, you know, when you're punting, you always want good numbers and everything. But, you know, there's just for a lack of opportunity for them, I'll take a few less yards. You know, just to not give them to ball, you take a few less yards on your punting or whatever, you know. But it was definitely it was a good night, and, you know, I believe in our coverage teams, and we have a bunch of stud athletes on this team. So even when I don't put the ball out of bounds, you know, we cover awesome, bunch of fast guys that love to play football. So the special teams unit is very good.
Now, the one that Harvin brought out of the end zone, if I'm correct, he got into the clear. You're thinking, uh-oh. And suddenly there's Michael Kanan in the way. I think you got the solo tackle on Percy Harvin to at least keep him from going a long way, if not the distance. Am I right on that?
Yeah, definitely.
What'd you get him with? Did you get him with shoulder? Did you trip his legs?
I think I grabbed his ankle. I grazed his ankle and tripped him up.
You were reaching for anything you could reach for at that moment.
I can. You know, it's never pretty when a kicker makes a tackle, so I stopped trying to be pretty and just trying to get him on the ground, you know. So
in that moment, if you even recall, when Percy Harvin's coming at you, you're thinking what? Get him on the ground?
Get him on the ground. Slow him down. You know, he's already farther than I want him if he's already to me. So, you know, you really don't think it's happened so fast, you know. And so I run up there trying to plug a hole and get him to look sideways and do something else. And then if he does come to me, it's like, all right, get him on the ground somehow. So
able to do that there in that instance. Again, we will take your phone calls. By the way, you can tweet me a question as well. Do so at Buck Sideline Guy, BUC, Buck Sideline Guy. Clever, I know. Tweet me a question or a comment here for Michael, and we'll pass that along as the show goes on. You mentioned your putting average may have been a little down in the Minnesota game, but you didn't fulfill the punchline there. You guys, in a game plan, were looking to directionally punt the ball to keep it away from the punt returners. You were looking to punt to specific spots, sideline, you know, left, sideline, right. It was part of that game plan that was executed well, because they had almost no return yards that entire game. Just to elaborate on that part of the plan.
Well, again, it goes back to taking the ball out of those guys' hands and trying to get the ball out of bounds, and if not, get them close to that sideline so you get one more player that they can't, you know, down the middle they go anywhere they want, but you get them on the sideline and they can only go one of two or three directions, you know, forward or to the field. And so our guys get down there when it is pinned up there and you know, claps on them and get them down on the ground. So, you know, a punter's not anything without good coverage. And there's a couple I didn't put where we needed to, but our guys, you never knew because our guys covered so well. So
fans are fascinated about this point, so just give me as much insight as you want. I mean, when you're going over the strategy with the special teams coach, Coach Lukaszewski or Coach Galliano, are you chiming in, hey, we ought to directional punt left, or we ought to try to hang it up? I mean, how much input are you giving in the game plan about what you do? Because there's different things you could do. How much input do you get on that?
I get some input, you know, because there's certain situations I want to hit a flip-flop, or I'm going to hit a regular punt, or, you know, I feel good a certain way, or, you know, there's different things that change that kind of thing. But, I mean, you always want to punt directionally. Some people don't, but, you know, that's one of the things that we do. And you know, just trying to get that ball on the sideline is big, especially against great returners. So, which, you know, we always prepare differently for the guys that are just our home run hitters. But, you know, in my 8 years, I found out that even the guy that you don't expect can hit a home run on you. So, you know, I never take anybody for granted.
That's well said, because that guy's back there for a reason.
Definitely.
I mean, generally there are only a select few that we know about, but every team designates that's our guy, and usually it's because he can make moves and or has some speed and is dangerous on any given play, right? That's what you're saying.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
All right, again, we got Michael Kanan sitting here with us, and he's giving us some insight. We're going to have a lot of fun talking about him and about your story. So let's go back to the beginning. When you're growing up, are you ever envisioning that you're going to be a football player?
No, never. My mom.
What did you think you were going to be?
I thought I was going to be a basketball player. I grew up playing basketball. If you wanted to find me, I was in my front yard playing hoops, rain or shine, getting dirty, wet. You know, in Washington, it's usually raining. So
right.
I went through a bunch of basketballs, but you know, I played hoops growing up and soccer, of course, and then my mom never let me play football until eighth grade. So went out one day for football. All my friends were teasing me for playing soccer, so I was like, all right, I'm going to go play football. And the coach was like, who can kick? And I was like, well, I can kick, you know. And and punted a spiral, and he's like, all right, you're our guy. And then it just took off from there.
So. Wait, this was a one-kick audition?
It literally was two punts.
Two punts, yeah. And you're hired.
Hired.
Okay. And so as you're going along in high school, are you thinking at any point here, I'm going to kick for a living. I can do this for a living. I can play in the NFL as a kicker. Is that ever crossing your mind?
No, never. Like I said, basketball was what I loved to do, and soccer was my sport too, and I just had started playing football, you know, so I played a little quarterback and stuff when I was, you know, younger, C team kind of stuff, and just enjoying being with my buddies and everything. And I started on the varsity team my sophomore year, and they said, all right, I didn't know this, but at the time they said, the guy got hurt, and they said, we'll let this guy go until he misses. And I made like 29 or something field goals and extra points in a row, and so they just let me do the whole year. You know, once I started getting letters to colleges, then I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll play football in college, you know, and end up going to a local school in Western that was right down the road, and it worked out good. But no, basketball was always, and even in college, I mean, I would play hoops as much as I could and play football, and it was getting me through school. And then, you know, once I started getting the accolades and everything, then I thought, well, maybe I might have a chance to play past college. But, you know, still it's not a real big possibility. You know, it's something that I just said, well, I'll give it a chance, but I wasn't expecting, you know, to play. So
understood. All right, we're going to pick it up on that point on the other side of the timeout here. Again, you can join us on the phones. We're talking for the full hour with Buccaneers punter and kicker Michael Kanin. By the way, I will tease this. We will go off the beaten path of football and turn to heavy metal music. And you know what's coming because I briefed you on this a little bit later on in the show. Stand by for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. It is Buccaneers Total Access. We will be right back here on this Friday night on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Back in with number 9, Michael Kanin here tonight, talking punting, talking place kicking. We appreciate him sitting down for the full hour. By the way, Sunday, Bucks and Chargers, it is Military Appreciation Month for the NFL. It is obviously Veterans Day weekend, and the Buccaneers are participating with a military supply drive. We encourage you to bring some supplies for the troops. The Yellow Glazer Family Foundation tents will be at each entrance of Raymond James Stadium. You can donate items or money towards the drive. These are hygienic items, non-perishable foods like coffee, canned goods, box goods, anything like that. Tube socks are needed, new or slightly used CDs, DVDs, anything that can be shipped off to the troops. Bring those there to the different locations at the stadium, and you can find out more about the military supply drive by going to GlazerFamilyFoundation.org. All one phrase, GlazerFamilyFoundation.org. And there'll be a big military presence. There always is a military presence at Buccaneer games, but there'll be an even bigger one for Veterans Day, military recognition. So that's going to be a lot of fun. Before we get to the phones and get back to your story, what's it like to get to meet men and women from the military on a regular basis as part of what you do in the NFL? Because they're always at Buccaneer games, including after the game, right there at the locker room. A lot of times you get to interact with those folks. What's it like?
It's awesome. You know, those guys, they do so much for us, and we don't see, you know, anything of what they do, really. You know, you just see them in their uniform on game days or at random times. But, you know, just I have a deep appreciation for those guys just dedicating their life and a lot of times giving their life for our country so we can be free and so we can play football on Sundays. You know, I can't imagine you know, we have a hard life in traveling and dedicating a lot of time to what we do, but you know, for just those families even that their husbands or brothers or, you know, sisters, wives, they're officers in the military and you don't know if they're going to come home or not. I mean, I couldn't imagine, you know, having to go through that. So they have a deep place in my heart and what they do for us.
Now, you used to play for the Atlanta Falcons, who obviously played indoors, so that's not conducive to flyover. So now, you know, you did play outside when you played road games. Now, playing for the Bucs the last couple of years, does it ever get old when we have those flyovers before the game? Because, I mean, I'm down there all the time, and every time it gets me. This is awesome. They're flying by with the helicopters or the big C-130 from the Coast Guard or whatever. What about for you? How cool?
Oh, it's one of the coolest parts. You know, of the game and of the pregame, you know, besides actually playing, but you never get tired of it. I mean, those guys doing the flyovers and it's just cool. It gets your blood going and just gives you chills sometimes. You don't see that big American flag and have those guys who dedicate so much time flying over. It's just it's awesome.
All right, so that'll be part of the game on Sunday. Again, 990-4620 if you're in Tampa. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 1-800-596-BUCKS, 1-800-596-2827. We're getting into Michael's story a little bit. We're going to have some fun about stuff away from the field as well as we go along. But here's John in Temple Terrace to begin us on the phones here with Michael Kanin. Hey, John.
Hey, TJ. Wow, you're such a great interviewer. Most of my questions have been answered. But I would like to say that I think sometimes special teams is a much overlooked part of the game. It's I think it's equally as important as offense or defense. And I was curious with somebody with a skill set like Michael, he kind of explained it already. How do you get to that point where, and one other thing before I go on, ask my question. The Minnesota game was fantastic. Keeping them from running back kicks with Percy Harvin and keeping them in trouble all day, I don't think it can be understated how important that is for a team. But as you were in college and decided, maybe you had a chance in professional football, how did you find that niche, being that special kind of athlete that can do all these specialty skills? If you could explain that to me, I'll just hang up and listen.
Well, first of all, thank you for your comments about the Minnesota game. That was like we talked about, that was a good game. And I guess it goes back to being when I was young. One thing my dad pressed on me was I was the kid that was at soccer practice 30 minutes before everybody else when we were playing long ball and developing just the kicking ability and everything. And, so definitely, God's gets me with those talents and has expounded upon that. I mean, I was scoring goals, from midfield in soccer games when I was little. Like, just, there's just a gift that I've had. And once I got into the league, that first training camp was, I just put my head down and just worked as hard as I could and tried to pick up everything that the veteran, he taught me onside kicks in that first training camp, the guy that I actually beat out, which was Toby Goen. And looking back on that, I give him a lot of credit for teaching me something that in competition that, he didn't have to do. And so I just put my head down and woke up one day and I was a starting guy. And I've tried to pick something every year that maybe I wouldn't call it weakness, but something that I could get better on and inside the 20 punts. Flip-flop punts, which is kind of looks like a kickoff when it goes up, working on kicking a knuckleball, just lots of time put in, I would say, to develop the skills that I have and also good role models. I used to watch film on different punters throughout the league. Fiegels when he was in New York, Mormon when he was in Buffalo, just a bunch of guys that I would just watch and just find out what made them successful and try and copy and mimic exactly what they were doing. I was blessed with awesome kickers that really showed me a lot of mental game. Todd Peterson, Morton Anderson, Jason Elam. Like, I got to play under and with some, I say under, play with guys that just are all Hall of Famers, and I just tried to follow them like a little puppy. I would follow them around and just figured out what they did to make them good. And I still have one of the charts of Morton Anderson's, mental preparation sheet. Like, I took it from him.
If you're going to take something from somebody that's going to teach you about kicking, that'd be a good guy to start there.
It definitely. I mean, his career is as old as I was, literally. So I guess it's just a lot of time put in and good role models to look up to and take different skills from. I hope that answers.
Good stuff on that. Now let's back up on the story. You're kicking at Western Washington, a small school, and your career comes to an end in college. How do you even get on the NFL radar? Did you go to an NFL combine tryout? Did you try out individually for teams? How do you even get on the NFL radar from Western Washington?
I sent out a lot of tape. Me and my wife now, girlfriend at the time, but we went and made VHS tapes, sent them to a bunch of different teams, had an agent who kind of knew some people and got my film in front of the right people and signed on as an undrafted free agent with a, tiny little signing bonus and headed out to Flowery Branch, Georgia to try and win a spot on a team with the guy that just gave me, and Jody Camillus gave me a chance, gave me an opportunity, but yeah, we sent out film and I hired a kicking coach and an agent and tried to get as much exposure as I could.
And one thing, and I've said this and I've heard guys talk about this, versatility cannot be overstated. The fact that you can punt, the fact that you can kick off as well as you do. I mean, right now, Buccaneer fans need to be aware that this guy's in the midst of a phenomenal streak. What is it, 39 of the last 40 kicks you've had have gone in the end zone. The only one is not is an onside kick out of the last 40 kicks. 21 straight went for touchbacks. That's a modern NFL record. Being able to punt, kick off, kick long field goals if need be, hold if need. The more versatile you are, is my point, the more you're going to hang around on a roster, as you've found, right?
Definitely. I've had several coaches, half jokingly say, the more you can do, and holding, the more you can do. And it's definitely is true. The more you can do to help a team and to win games is big.
990-4620. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free 1-800-596-BUCKS. You can also tweet me a question or a comment at Bucks Sideline Guy. Jason tweets in and says, how would you compare the Falcon teams you played on to the Buck teams of the last couple of years? What's it like playing for the Buccaneers in the division now, a rival of the Falcons? It's like switching sides in a war now. Now you're on the other side now playing for the Bucks. What's that like?
I love it. I love Tampa. I really do. I love just this whole environment, from the owners down. It's just real class act. And I would say that Atlanta was great too, and the owner was really good to me. And there's a lot of similarities. They ran a good ship with Mike Smith down there or up there. And there's definitely similarities. But, this team, one of the things that is really kind of overlooked, and like we talked about a little bit earlier, is that when you have a team that you can go down a couple scores or one score and your heads don't hang, you just, okay, let's go. You just go back at it. There's a lot to be said for winning ball games and for having a good football team. And this team has it, and they have a lot of fight. And honestly, I haven't seen a team hit as hard as our guys hit. Like, we have some phenomenal athletes and hit really hard. And even when I was in Atlanta, when we come play Tampa, it's always a fast, hard hitting football team. And I guess I'm glad to be on this side of it. I like that flag on my helmet.
Yeah, there you go on that. Again, Michael Cannon is here with us. All right, let's have some fun with respect to this. Give me a couple of jobs that you had in high school or college. What did you do? What kind of money did you make? Come on, fun. Let's go.
I worked at a car wash. I'm a kicking coach, so I did
making
that.
What?
Shoot.
Six seven, bucks an hour, $8 an hour.
Six or seven.
Ten bucks an hour.
Some people would give us a $5 tip.
All right, that was a big day if you got a $5 tip. All right, what else did you do besides car wash? Anything else?
A lot of landscape work, a lot of active stuff. Bucked some hay bales for my dad, that kind of stuff. Just active paint. I painted houses for a couple
How
summers.
Much you make to paint a house in the summer?
Not enough. I mean,
$100? $200 a house?
We made like $8 an hour or something.
Oh, wow. Not even that much.
No.
All right. So you know what I'm leading up to. When an NFL team puts a contract in front of you that says $19 million, do you just take a minute and go, is this real? Is this what I'm really looking at here?
Yeah. I had a smile on my face, after my agent told me that and came in and hugged the family. And you just work so hard for if you don't know my story, I was franchise tagged I was signed a 2-year deal, and then I signed a 1-year deal, the franchise tag, and then another 1-year deal. And
all so of this I had, in Atlanta.
Yeah, all in Atlanta. So I had not had a long-term deal with anybody. So, I think for me, the money is great and everything, but the length of time I think was what for me was awesome. That just that they would commit 6 years to me and my family, and that we can move somewhere and just, it's the NFL and we understand that and anything happened, but just a sign that was a long time coming for us and it was awesome.
And, Buck fans, it's interesting how fans are. Fans are fickle. You know this. You kick well, you punt well, they love you. You don't kick well, you don't punt well. There were so many Buck fans that could not understand in free agency why that kind of money was being spent. Now, as somebody that worked on the game broadcast and watched you time and again kick the ball through the uprights on kickoffs against the Buccaneers in the Georgia Dome and punt the ball 60, 65 yards against the Buccaneers, I tried and others to keep saying, you're going to begin to understand why they put that kind of money in front of Michael Cannon. And I think a year and a half later, we've got mostly converts now that understand why that kind of money was put out there, because you are a weapon. You're a guy that can change the field position and change the dynamic, and it's not just something that's readily available. And you know, I think a lot of Buccaneer fans have warmed up on that part. Connor Barth, interesting story from him. We've had him in here on Total Access. He's a fun guy. What's it like? Tell the fans what it's like to be around Connor Barth in the locker room, out on the practice field, and on Sundays and out on the field.
It's fun. I think it would be the first word that comes to my head, and goofball would be the other one. but no, he's a great kicker, first of all. You know, has a lot of talent and is good at his craft, you know, and works hard at it. But, you know, the thing I like about Connor is that he, you know, he can relax and he can enjoy it, and he can just be free and playing football, you know, and he really has perspective on that. And I think that's why it makes him so successful. But it's just fun to play. You know, we come out every day and joke around, and Economos too, you know, he's a great guy to be around. And, you know, I really like our unit that we got going.
And then you contemplate, and I know you know Connor's story, but he's told it here on the air, and for the fans that didn't hear it, he seriously contemplated giving up football. He had been cut a couple of times. He has told the story that when the Dolphins cut him in training camp in 2009, he had basically decided, I'm going to go sell insurance. I am going to get out of the NFL. And his father and his kicking coach basically convinced him, keep your dream alive for this year. There may be a chance. And within a couple of weeks, he was kicking on a Tuesday, auditions here for the Buccaneers, suddenly got the Buccaneer job. And now Connor Barth has done what he has done, kicking the football over the last 3 years, and has gotten a huge, I mean, a real story in perseverance right there that you work with every day.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And, you know, my career, I've been blessed not to have to jump around team to team, but that's, you know, a lot of the path that kickers and punters go through, and you gotta be strong to be able to withstand being cut a few times and bounce around, and he's really laying on his feet and made the most of the opportunity. And, you know, I actually didn't know that he, the full length of that story, but, yeah, I could definitely see that. And he definitely can overcome.
When you two are out there and you're holding for him, and it is a big moment and a big kick, and this has already happened a couple of times this season. It's happened last season when you held for him. What is that like? I mean, is there anything at all being said? Is it just eye contact, go do your job? How does that dynamic work?
I try and trip him usually when we come on the field, you know, loosen him up or punch him or something. No. He's so good, you know, that I just go out there, and me and Nico both, we just try and get the ball back, get it set, you know, and just let him do what he does. And there's no communication until after. And, you know, most time it's celebrating a good field goal, but, you know, we go up there, he nods at me, snap's coming, you know, just try and get it down so he can hit a good ball.
So in those moments, and though, I mean, do you hear crowd? Do you hear anything? You're just looking at him. You're waiting for him to tell you he's ready.
Yeah.
What's that moment like, though? Because there's got to be a little half second of, oh, my gosh, we're getting ready to do this, isn't there? Or do you not even think about it?
There could be, you know, but you try and have something you're thinking about, and when you're going out there, and just be focused on what you got to do. And we do it 1,000 times in practice, you know, so it's – you try and – just get it to where it's the same as a practice, and you go out there and just another kick and line it up. And, you know, you get out there and you start focusing on all the wrong things, and you'll mess up before you know what's happening. So you just keep your mind focused and what you're trying to do, and do it.
All right. Again, 990-4620 if you're in Hillsboro. If you're in Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free 1-800-596-BUCKS. Michael Kanin, punter and place kicker, is here on Buccaneers Total Access. We're going to talk some music, and Michael knows what's coming. We're going to talk about it coming up next. Be back with us here on the Buccaneers Radio Network.
Buccaneers Total Access now continues on 620 WDAE, home of the Buccaneers.
Back in with budding radio star Michael Kanin here on a Friday night as the Bucs get set to take on the San Diego Chargers Sunday, 1 o'clock at Raymond James Stadium. Good to be back home, as the Buccaneers come back with a 4-4 record after wins at Minnesota and at Oakland. We'll get back to the phones here in just a second. I just asked you this off the air. I get in trouble sometimes because I ask good questions off the air. So you played in front of how many people at Western Washington on a typical home game?
We probably average about 2,000 people.
So slight adjustment to move your way to the NFL, and there's 60,000, 70,000, 80,000 people going bonkers. Did that take a little getting used to the first year or two?
Definitely. My very first regular season game was against the Eagles, and there was a fight before the game, and it was Monday Night Football.
I remember.
It was nuts.
Where were you during the fight?
I was on the sideline, away from everything.
I remember Michael Vick was out there, who now plays for the Eagles. Yes. There was a big posse around him.
Yep.
You were just over getting ready for the game, punting into the net, huh?
No, I was just standing on the sideline because they were over there warming up, and I think it was Jeremiah Trotter, was it?
Mm-hmm.
Who's the linebacker, and one of our DBs got into it, and then there's a big, huge scuffle in the middle of the field, and I was standing over there because I'm not getting hit.
Were you looking for Morton Anderson to say, what do we do, or what were you doing at this point?
I was just watching. I was hanging out, you know, and I'll never forget, Michelle DeFoya comes up to me, what happened, and I was like, oh, you know, I went over there and punched him, and then I came back over, you know, I ran away, but no, it was, that was a big eye-opener. It was loud, boy, and then Monday Night Football, big stage like that, first game ever, so it was cool.
It never gets dull, does it, on Sunday? When you're about to start the game with a kickoff, in that moment before the game, is that a rush? Is that an adrenaline rush, or how much of a rush is it?
Oh, it's always a rush. You always have butterflies, you know, before the game, so it's good to get that first, you know, kickoff in or punt or whatever, and then you just kind of settle down after that, but it's definitely a you know, climax to that point of energy, and then the game kind of mellows out as far as that goes. But
all right, we'll get into some other stuff in a moment, but Josh wants to say hello. He's dialing us from Georgia tonight on Buccaneers Total Access. You're on here with Michael Kanin. Hey, Josh.
Hey, guys. How are y'all?
Very good.
I was just calling, you know, I watched you when you were here in Atlanta, loved you while you were here in Atlanta, and I was wondering what the major difference is going from Atlanta to Tampa. How much different has it been for you?
Well, thanks for watching me, you know, when I was in Georgia. I appreciate that. But it's, you know, besides the dome to moving outside, it's very similar. You have, getting used to a new snapper, of course, is a big thing. But it's very similar. You know, both directional punting teams, directional punting on the kickoff, you know, good coverage guys. And so it was definitely very similar.
Is it harder to kick in heat and humidity on a regular basis in Tampa, or is it not that big of a deal? Do we make too much out of that?
No, it's definitely harder to kick in the wind that we get here. You know, Tampa's pretty windy, so you get that crosswind, so you got to learn to kick in that. But, you know, I've felt like it was harder when you're a dome kicker to go outside than when you're just an outside kicker outside. You know, it's, mm-hmm. it's for whatever reason, you know, because you practice outside and then you go kick in the dome. But when you're used to it on game days, it's just normal now, you know. So it's I would say I got better at punting outside in the wind and everything because that's what we do here, you know. But it was very similar. And you know, I had great coaches, you know, first year and this year. And they you know, a good special teams coach just kind of leaves punters and kickers alone. Just kind of do your thing and – I'm not going to ride you because I'm going to be the hardest person on me. So I don't need somebody else being hard on me because I'm already hardest on myself, you know? So, Lig does a great job of just, hey, you know, if you need me, I'm here, but you know, what happened, you know, he does a good job in, you know, managing us, I guess you could say. But very similar, definitely.
All right, let's have a little fun. This is why it's Total Access. And I had no idea about this. And then I started talking to you and you were looking at me for a second, like I was crazy. And then suddenly we had like the Disney World, it's a small world after all moment. So the bottom line is my sister and brother-in-law moved to Seattle about 10, 11 years ago. And my brother-in-law has been in a couple of different rock bands. And he started a rock band in Seattle called the Agents of Chaos. They are a heavy metal band in Seattle. And they actually had an audition for a lead singer. And the lead singer who they liked started, you know, talking to them about, you know, other things, where you're from Tampa, what about your family, and all the Buccaneers came up somehow. And this lead singer says, I got a friend of mine who plays on the Buccaneers named Mike. So my brother-in-law calls me and says, do you know a guy on the Bucs named Mike? This is last year, and I'm going, well, wait a minute, there's two or three Mikes. There's Mike Williams, there's Michael Bennett, who's Mike, but there's also Michael Kanin, who's Mike. So now, pick up the story, your friend Jake. You and I didn't have any idea, but your friend Jake is the lead singer of my brother-in-law Brian's rock band, the Agents of Chaos.
Yeah.
Pretty cool. It's a small world.
It's definitely a small world. And Jake is actually, you know, you have people in your life that you hang out with a lot.
By the way, we're going to hear Jake singing with the Agents of Chaos right here.
I'm about to tell him
about it. All right, yeah. Go ahead. So you're hanging out with Jake.
Yeah, and so, you know, he was one of my closest friends growing up. Also, so it wasn't like just an acquaintance. I mean, we did everything together from in that middle school range and motorcycles, and he was always into, you know, he got into singing and everything.
This is Jake. Turn him up a little bit for Michael.
Turn that up.
This is Jake singing with the Agents.
He can always sing.
With the Agents of Chaos.
I love it.
This is a song called Window Pane, by the way, off of their first CD.
Yep.
So that's Jake singing. Yep. So did you always know? All right, Eric, good job there. You can lower it a little bit. Did you always know that Jake was going to be a singer?
No, definitely not. He was motocrossed out. So we were riding motorcycles is what he did. So I knew him pre-tattooed. And then he got most tattoos and started singing and everything a lot. And I run into him now and again. You know, we're so busy that there's a lot of people we don't get to see. But, I run to him now and again. I saw him a couple years ago, and he said he was in Seattle doing his thing. So it's cool to see him doing that.
All right, so I have to give you a gift here tonight on behalf, yes. This is a radio, on behalf of the Agents of Chaos. Here is their Volume 1 CD with your buddy Jake Martin on the lead vocals. On behalf of the AOC, there you go, from Seattle.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so you've got a CD. I mean, how about that? So, I mean,
that's pretty awesome.
You and I didn't know each other until you showed up here in Tampa, and who knew that we had connections all the way out in Washington,
of all
places, to that. So good luck to the Agents of Chaos and your buddy Jake as the lead singer and my brother-in-law, Brian.
I've been needing a CD to throw in my CD player in my truck. So
it's a little loud. I will. That's the one song we picked that was not loud out of all of that. So just be aware on that one. So
be a change from my country music then, huh?
All right. So wait a minute. What do you listen to on the country dial? Who do you like?
Oh, shoot. 103.5?
Oh, 103.5 is the right answer because that's the station. It's the Bucks flagship. But what country artists are you into? Little Keith Urban? Little Faith Hill?
Yeah,
what do we like?
A lot of Al Dean.
Okay, Jason Aldean.
The Brad Paisley.
Barth goes to all kinds of concerts, but does he go to country concerts?
Oh, yeah. He went to that, what was it, Garth Brooks? Who was out here that in the summer?
I don't know.
Whatever that one was. I think Paisley?
Paisley. Brad Paisley was here in the summertime.
Yeah, Paisley was here. I think he went to that.
Chesney and Paisley, I think, were together over the summer.
Yeah.
All right.
I didn't go.
Are you big into country concerts, or you just like listening to the music?
You know, with three kids, it's hard to get out to many concerts, but you know, I would definitely go, although we couldn't get a babysitter, so I didn't make that one.
All right, so you have a new baby girl, correct? You have two sons and a baby girl.
Yep.
And I should mention to the audience on a Friday Night Live here that we're, like, holding up date night tonight, so you're already mad with us because this is an actual night where you have to go and do something besides be with the kids, and we're holding you up here tonight. But what's it like being a parent?
I love it. I really do. It definitely has its hard times, but, you know, I have a great wife, and she does a ton for our family, and especially during season and everything when I'm not around all the time, and she's awesome, so that definitely helps.
So you agree with me, it's unspoken but true, the wives are the MVPs, period.
They definitely take
the
on
the mothers of our children, most valuable players.
They do. They take on quite a load of everything, and, you know, there's times where she just take them for 5 minutes. I need to get out of here, you know. But they definitely wear on her more, so.
Scarier to have Percy Harvin coming at you or be alone with all three right now for like half an hour? What's scarier?
It depends on the half hour because, you know, if they're napping.
That's a good line.
It's pretty easy.
Yeah, well, napping, yes.
Yeah, but
awake and active and ready to go.
You know, we've been watching a lot of Turtle Man. I don't know if anybody out there watches Turtle Man.
I've not seen Turtle Man.
Did you notice how my voice got a little more country when I said that too? Because that boy is from Kentucky. And, you know, it's from the sticks. And so he catches a lot of raccoons and everything. So daddy
now,
is a raccoon.
How old are your sons?
I got 4, 2.5.
Okay. So you've seen a lot of cartoons, but you're saying that Turtle Man is an actual turtle man catching stuff in the wilderness?
Yeah, he's country as they get. He's about three teeth and has a little rebel yell he does.
Does mom know that you're letting the 4 and the 2.5-year-old watch this stuff?
Yeah, we got about 12 episodes on our DVR that – everything is, he wakes up, and the first thing he says is, Daddy, turn on Turtle Man.
Turtle Man.
I'm like, buddy. Okay.
Yeah.
He likes it, too.
So you can watch Turtle Man.
Yeah, it's fun, you know, but you can only watch him so many times. But then we put him away, and we got to catch snakes and raccoons and do all that, and put him in the bag, and, you know, so
So we act like we're turtle men.
A lot of wrestling going on.
So your 4 year old is about old enough to sort of realize what you're doing, and your 2.5 year old may a little bit, but your 4 year old has probably started to figure out what daddy does.
He does.
How jacked up does he get, especially on Sunday?
He loves it, and the wife will say like, "I'll come on TV," and they watch it, you know, and they get all jacked up. And a funny story, when we had the first one, I think it was about a year and a half or so, or getting on two, and I came home from a game, and he comes running over to me, and. And I was like, he has a little football, you know. I was like, "Oh, what's up, buddy?" And he's like, "Hey, Daddy, hold it." I was like, "Okay, hold it." He's like, no, get down on the ground and hold it." He wanted me to hold it like he saw me doing on TV for the field goal kickers.
Right.
I was like, "How did you even put that together?" But they pick up a lot, definitely.
Do they have their Canaan jerseys on every Sunday?
Yes. Definitely got the jerseys.
Now, you have a baby girl who is how old?
She is 9 months now.
Wow. So, you know, as the father of twin girls, your world changes forever with daughters and daddy's girls. So is she a daddy's girl all the way now? I mean, she's gonna have you know, wrapped around her finger. This is a given. I mean, it's gonna happen. It's gonna absolutely happen.
She definitely does. She's a little sweetheart. Boys, don't be touching sister. Just get away from sister, all right? You're gonna hurt her.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, no, she definitely she's so cute, too, you know, and she just... Little blue eyes like her mom has. And so she just looks up at me. I'm like, all right, you want.
And so we can already tell that mom is going to have to be the tough one because dad's going to give in on everything to your daughter. Yeah. So she's going to have to be the law.
Yeah, but I pretend tough. So. No, you can't have that. Okay, maybe.
Yeah, maybe you can't have that while mom's not looking. My favorite answer right now is, what did your mother say? Because they come to me a lot of the time right now when the law has already said, you're not doing that. And then I have to say, what did your mother say?
Yeah, that's big, though. You got to be on the same page.
Yes, unified front.
Definitely.
They're on that. All right, so back to football here with this. You know, preparation during a given week. Tell me what you're doing. I mean, you and Connor, and if fans were out at training camp, they would see this a lot. You guys, a lot of times, are preparing on your own on a separate practice field. What's a typical Wednesday or Thursday practice day like for you?
Wednesday for me is more of a grind day, so I'm going to hit majority of my weekly kicks I'm going to do on a Wednesday. So we're going to go out, and Connor kicks beginning of practice. Mine's more later, so I just help him warm up, hold for him. He gets his kicks in, and then I go warm up, you know, make sure I'm feeling good, work out any kinks, and just keep my strength going, you know, throughout the season, get the bulk of my work done on Wednesday. And then we'll get all that in, and then we go through situations. We'll join the team for different periods, get situations in, and have team reps, and then we'll go back and kind of work out anything else that I need to work on. And then Wednesday.
Now, the interesting thing, as I mentioned, is a versatile guy. You kick off, but you also can place kick. Do you work a lot during the week, during the season, on place kicking if in the event you're called upon? How does that work?
I do it enough to where, in a pinch, I could do it, but I don't focus on it. You know, it's such a long season that you don't want to tear up your leg and be doing more than you need to be doing. So I don't do it enough to be super consistent at it, but I could make it if I needed to.
What about game day? Are you a big superstitious guy? Because Connor says to me, hey, I'm the least superstitious guy you're ever going to meet. I mean, a lot of kickers sometimes have a certain way they have to do things, certain things to eat, certain music to listen to. Are you one of those types of guys, Michael?
No. I mean, I have my routine, but it's definitely not superstitious. I don't think if I miss something that I'm going to have a bad day or anything. But my only superstition is that I don't want any superstitions. You know, if I find myself doing something, I'm like, why are you doing that? And then I try and do it the opposite way, you know, so that I'm not getting in down that road, you know. So I'm not very superstitious, but I do believe in, you know, getting a good warm up and creating good habits that you carry into the game that you do the same every week.
Again, Michael Cannon is with us here. We're going to pause. We're going to come back one final time here. We'll talk a little bit about the Charger matchup this week. You're liking that AOC CD there, Agents of Chaos. There you go. All right, so a little music, a little culture here tonight on Buccaneers Total Access. We'll be right back on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Remaining few moments, again, military supply drive on Sunday at Raymond James Stadium for the Bucs and the Chargers. You'll see the Yellow Glazer Family Foundation tents up. bring some non-perishable items, some hygienic items to those tents for the troops, tube socks, new or slightly used CDs or DVDs. It's all welcome. You can donate those. And again, find out more at GlazerFamilyFoundation.org for the collection there for the military. And there'll be a big military presence and a bunch of different events going on as part of Veterans Day and Veterans Day weekend. Okay, a couple people have tweeted questions or comments. One, Robert says, Mike, you got to tell us about the not top 10 play a couple of weeks ago. Run us through the play. Love you, bro. All right, so what's the deal? This is the Kansas City game we're talking about.
I don't even remember that.
You've blocked it out at this point?
Yeah, I don't know what you're talking about.
Punt was blocked. You picked it up. Do you know the name Garo Yepremian?
Yes.
Okay. Did somebody – did you know that name before what
First,
happened?
Let's – I just want to clarify something.
Please. Okay.
In the book, it's a fumble. So All technically, right. I can't look bad trying to throw the ball if it's a fumble.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. So we have that clarified.
All right.
Now, back That's to my thing. Did you know the name Garo Yepremian before what happened in the Kansas City game?
Had yeah,
you...
and I think I've seen the video. Cold day, slips out from behind it. Yeah.
Bats it up in the air.
Yeah.
It was in the Super Bowl, actually. Yeah.
It really hurts my pride because I like to think of myself as an athlete, you know?
Okay. When that was going, when that was going on, were you even thinking anything or were you just reacting?
A little of both. You know, I was trying – when I first got blocked, I was just thinking, get to the ball, you know. And I was just going to kick it out the back of the end zone, get it to a safety. And then it bounced kind of forward in the end zone, so I picked it up. And then from then on, I was like, just throw it out of bounds so they don't get the ball. You know, then just – you know, it just went bad.
Yeah, it did kind of go bad. Yeah. Well, and it's interesting because I was telling somebody today, they were asking me who was going to be on the show, and they said, Michael, they said, you got to ask him about that play. And I said, well, wait a minute. This guy has all these touchbacks. This guy has all these big punts. But we only seem to remember a kicker or a punter if something goes wrong like that.
Yeah, but just get out your eraser. We can just erase it.
We'll erase that. By the way, did you know that Garo Yepremian kicked for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? He actually, after that whole thing with the Dolphins and the Super Bowl that he's famous for, you're kicking for a team that he later kicked for. So there you go. There's another connection, 6 degrees of separation.
Keeps getting worse.
Okay. So we'll move on. We'll move on from that. All right. So San Diego comes in here, and I know from a special team standpoint, you're looking at their return guys, et cetera, et cetera. It is 1/3 of the game. But give me the scouting report here on what you see out of the Chargers.
They're talented, definitely. You know, I can't really speak for offense or defense, to be honest with you, but their special teams unit, I know Rich a little bit, and he's a good coach, and you know, coaches up some solid units, and we have a few guys over there that were on our team last year that we know. So, but they're good. They're definitely not going to give us anything, and we're going to have to earn everything we get.
Rich is Rich Bisaccia, who was here for a long time as a special teams coach for the Buccaneers. He's now special teams coach for the Chargers. You know, again, it's one of those keep – the hidden yardage we talk about a lot of times, changing field position, 15 yards here, 30 yards there, you know, touchbacks where they don't get big returns and start at the 35 or start at the 40. Those add up.
Yeah,
I know I don't have to tell you that, but for the fans, it's a big deal to pay attention to this stuff.
Yeah, it really does. And you know, every week I just try and do my part to affect that positively for us and you know, pin them back or clear us from a bad situation. But it's definitely some hidden yardage in there for sure.
All right, so on Sunday, yeah, this team has been on quite a roll with winning the coin toss and deferring to the second half, which means you're going to kick off. I mean, Rondé's been doing a great job calling the coin there with that. So if it does Sunday come down to, hey, you're going to start the game with a kickoff, well, I mean, again, for the Buccaneer fans, what's that moment like? You're getting ready to kick things off. With the Bucs back at home, it's got to be a cool feeling, right?
It's going to be awesome. It's going to be awesome. I love playing in Tampa. You know, when I was in Atlanta, I hated playing in Tampa, to be honest, because the fans, you were crazy. And they still are. It's just I'm on the other side of that now, so it's awesome. You know, and we really have great fans, and it gets loud in there. And so, you know, when I get back there to kick it, I hope everybody just screams as loud as they can because that it builds up in a rush and gives me a little couple extra yards.
I like that. And we got, you know, again, for the Buccaneer fans, be there early, be there loud, be there loud at the right times.
Amen.
Yeah, so we're looking for that. Listen, did I promise you the hour would fly by?
It flew. I don't even know what happened.
It's done.
Yeah.
Michael Kanin, great job. Thanks for sitting with us on Total Access. Good luck on Sunday and the rest of the year. We thank you.
Thank you.
All right, and we thank Eric Sachs for helping me out tonight back at the station. Also, Jeff Ryan here at One Buck Place. Again, Buccaneers and San Diego Chargers coming up Sunday at 1 o'clock. We're on the air at noon with the pregame right here on the Buccaneers Radio Network. We'll be back starting on Monday with more editions of Buccaneers Total Access. We'll talk to you then. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you Sunday on the Buccaneers Radio Network. Good night.